Yeah, it's just now, kind of intriguing, you know, for.
He's still on that road, even in 100,000 period countless. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth, along with myself.
Only the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. In one of his wonderful lectures, Great Master Dogen said something along the lines, this is a paraphrase, something along these lines. That to follow the path of Buddhism is not to walk in old ways and it's not to forge new ways. It is simply to follow in the footsteps of a fine Zen master. What does it mean to follow in the footsteps of one's master? To say that it's not to walk in old ways is to say that this is not a matter of imitating what one's master has done. It's not a matter of modeling one's behavior, one's actions on one's masters. It is not a matter of looking at the actions of one's master and treating them as in some way hallowed. It's not a matter of putting one's master on a pedestal. It's not a matter of putting monasteries, organizations, regulations, any of these things on a pedestal. It's not a matter of trying to regulate one's life by external means. It's also not trying to forge new ways. I think of the song that probably Frank Sinatra made most famous, I Did It My Way. Well, who cares if one did it one's way if it's a way to perdition, so to speak? There's no particular value in being unique just for being the sake of being unique. In fact, it can be an excuse for all kinds of foolishness. Nor is it a matter of forging new ways simply out of one's own best intentions or altruistic intentions. If it's not a matter of going in old ways or in forging new ways, I mean, what does that add up to, the two of them together? To truly walk the path of the Buddhas and ancestors, one cannot define the spiritual life by external means. One cannot define it in terms of externals. This is not to say that many externals are not very helpful. Indeed, they are. It's not to despise the forms of training. It's not to despise anything. It's simply to say that externals never capture or define the essence of what it is to walk the path. Of course, the irony here is that the heart always knows this, and it's only the head that gets confused about it. If we're relying on one's brain or on our brain, instead of on our spiritual heart, on our own Buddha nature, then we easily get confused in these matters. If we resolutely refuse to be duped by our own cleverness or by our own faith in other people's cleverness, and we really listen to our own heart, it's obvious that however helpful externals may sometimes be, fundamentally they're unreal and don't matter. If it's not to walk in old ways or to forge new ways, what is it to follow in the footsteps of a fine Zen master? What can it be? Well, what was it, or what is it, that one's master was and or is sometimes succeeding at, but always aspiring to do? It is to listen to take refuge in and to follow the eternal. A master may have the label of master, and this is another external thing. But a true master always knows that it's just a label, and that it has its uses, and that he or she is always in the position of discipleship to the eternal. And a discipleship to his or her own master, who always represents the eternal. Whether that master is alive or dead matters not in the least. One's own master will always represent the eternal. And the purpose of that representation which originates, as I've said so many times, from the eternal itself, not from man. The purpose of that representation is to help us in our aspiration of discipleship directly to the eternal. The eternal uses the master in every aspect of the master's existence, every aspect of the master's being, teaching, actions, examples of what to do, sometimes examples of what not to do. Uses every aspect of that person's existence to help the disciple do one thing, truly take refuge in, truly follow, truly listen to, truly follow the Buddha nature itself. When we say that the master-disciple relationship is the living heart of the transmission of all the Buddhas and ancestors, this is why we say it. And it is indeed the truth. The fact that some people object to such a seemingly authoritarian relationship, that many people allow themselves to be swamped by doubt, that such a vehicle can be a true vehicle of enlightenment because human beings are fallible. The fact that we live in a materialistic society in which religion tends to be either a gray shadow of what it potentially could be, or people simply deny that there's anything really greater than themselves anyway. People don't believe in their own Buddha nature. These facts cannot deter anyone who sets their mind and heart on a path of true discipleship. Doesn't mean that each of us in our own way will not struggle if we undertake such a path. Probably not too many people know better than me how difficult that struggle can be and how high the stakes are. And I also think that perhaps not too many people know better than me that one can go through that fire of doubt and pain and come out the other side to a place of where an infinity of faith and compassion open up before one. Provided, of course, that one continues one's training through and beyond anything that one experiences. Because all our experience is transitory. For those who are walking the path of discipleship, I encourage you not to waste time wallowing in the conviction that you'll never be good enough for what you're trying to do. I encourage you also not to waste time thinking that after all, this is a rather dull and unexceptional path. Allowing yourself to lose sight of the fact that it is in truth the magnificent way of ancient Buddhas. I encourage you not to waste time worrying about what other people are doing or not doing in their training. The only way forward in the spiritual life, at any point in the spiritual life, the only way truly forward is to concentrate one's mind and one's heart focus entirely on one's own training and take one sure step at a time, even if it seems the tiniest, most insignificant step possible. Path of discipleship, most of the time, does seem completely unexceptional. For the person who's truly walking it, really, why should it be otherwise? Do we need perpetual drama, perpetual proofs? In dramatic form? Or do we need to pay attention to the innumerable little proofs that manifest continually right in front of us? Only when we truly concentrate our mind and our heart on our following of the eternal do Buddhas appear. Don't be deceived and misled by self-doubt or the doubts of others. Don't give in to despondency or despair self-pity, any of these things. Walk straight on. Be one with the way of ancient Buddhas.
Scripture of great wisdom.